This program was made possible with the support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Find out more at cbf.org.au.
Hello, Abdul, and welcome to Service Voices.
Hi, Helen. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Now, Abdul, I've only met you the other day, and I met you in a rather strange place because it's a place where not often men go. It's the Women's Community Centre at Stepney. Tell us a little bit about how that came to be.
I've recently moved to Adelaide. Last week, actually, I was just driving and passing the Women's Community Centre in St. Peter's, and I look at the sign which said Women's Community Centre. And because I've been working with the communities for the last 4 or 5 years in Australia, I've been involved working with refugees, with youth, with women. So I said, let's have a look what's going on inside. So I went inside the community centre, and I was looking at the flyers and the announcement, and I met Carla, who is the CEO of Women's Community Centre. I had a chat with her, and she told me about all the services that they've got. And there is Op Shop as well. So I was really into looking like some sheets for my beds because that's what I needed on that time. She asked me if I was happy to volunteer for the center. So at the same time, I needed help. They helped me, and I was happy to give back to the community and help people who are in need. I was happy to volunteer in the center.
It's a lovely story. Abdul, you are a refugee yourself.
Yep, that's right.
What's your background?
Actually, I was born in Afghanistan in the 1990s when we had the civil war going on in the country. And did my high school in Afghanistan, finished my high school, started working for the government for a year, and then came to Australia as a refugee.
Your English is very good. How did you learn English?
Thanks for that. I had a bit of English back home. And when I arrived in Australia, I started doing my English at TAFE. So I did my English at TAFE, and then I had to do my HSC at TAFE. So I did my HSC. And, yeah, still learning the Australian English.
Having a bit of trouble with slang, I imagine.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Yeah.
Your father worked in humanitarian roles in Afghanistan. Talk about that.
My dad started working with the international organizations back in 1990s. He started working with an organization called IRC, which stands for International Rescue Committee. They are just helping people who are displaced in Afghanistan because of war. They help farmers back home in Afghanistan because we had this drought era after civil war and after the Taliban regime. So they helped the farmers. And then he started working with the World Food Program. He was doing a project with the United Nations, and he was helping the refugees who were returning from Pakistan in Iran, the Afghan refugees, who were displaced back in 1970s because of the Russian invasion in Afghanistan. He's been still working with a Czech Republic organization. It's called People in Need. They are doing the environmental and agriculture projects in Afghanistan, just looking after the national parks and working with the education program which encourages students to learn more about environment and agriculture.
You've lived through some very turbulent times in your country.
Yeah, that's true. When I was born in 1990, we had civil war because the Russian came to Afghanistan and they invaded Afghanistan and they stayed there from 1970s till 1990s. So when they left the country, we had civil war for 5 to 6 years. I was born during that time, unfortunately. Then we had Taliban, who were in control of the country for 5 years, from 1995 till 2000, 2001. So I spent my childhood pretty much in war. Yeah, it was really hard. And then we had the international community who came to Afghanistan in 2001, which was, I would say, my favorite time of my life, from 2001 till 2008, that I stayed in the country. Very peaceful on that time.
What caused that change to peace?
After the September 11 attack, which happened in America, the international community decided to come to Afghanistan because they thought that it was a time for the Taliban to leave the country. I'm hoping that it should have happened earlier than that. But it was still a really good decision that they came to Afghanistan to help Afghans establishing their own government instead of living under the dark regimes like Taliban. The international community came in 2001, and that's changed people's lives, actually.
You're telling me it was a popular arrival?
Yep. People back in 2001, because they were depressed the way people lived in Afghanistan under the Taliban regime. Women, they couldn't go to school when Taliban were in control. The 50% of our community were disactivated, actually. They couldn't take part in any activities in the country. Even men, they had to grow a beard, was compulsory. They had to wear special clothing. That's like pretty similar to what ISIS is doing now in Syria and Iraq. It was pretty similar way people were forced to live, actually. We didn't have hospitals, we didn't have schools. So the involvement of international community in Afghanistan in 2001, people were really looking forward to that moment that international community could come in Afghanistan and do something to help. Most people in Afghanistan believe that the reason that we have security in Afghanistan now is because of the international troops, including Australians, Americans, and other countries who are involved, saying that people don't like international troops or don't like the Americans or Australians. That's not true. I've been in contact with people who are working with the Australian troops in Afghanistan, and I myself was involved in the projects that Australians were doing in Afghanistan in Oruzgan province, the southern province in Afghanistan. And I could see people's reactions. People were overwhelmed by what the Australians do in Afghanistan. They really appreciate and they're very thankful for what the international community, including Australia, has done.
You mentioned Oruzgan province. Would you have met Fred Smith while he was there, the Australian diplomat?
He's one of my favourite guys, actually. I met him when he came to Newcastle in New South Wales. I was listening to his songs and I had a brief chat with him. He's a nice guy. And I wish every single diplomat, I wish everyone was like him, actually.
The world would be a far safer place, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
He's a humanitarian to the core.
Yeah. He is doing what he's assigned for, and at the same time, he's doing, as you said, like lots of humanitarian things, and he is showing a different picture of what's going on in the battles, what's going on with the troops and what's going on with people who are involved in the humanitarian and in war, actually. Mm-hmm. So he's really showing both sides of the story.
Fred was the first Australian diplomat to be sent off to serve alongside our troops.
Yeah, that's true.
Not only in Afghanistan, but he also served in Bougainville, and that was quite a melting pot for a long time.
Yeah.
And he certainly won hearts and minds in Bougainville with a guitar and a song and his great personality.
Yeah. I was involved in our community, the Afghan community in Newcastle, and I've met lots of people who worked with him so closely. The interpreter who worked with him, yeah, and they've all said really good things about him. The way he worked and the way he delivered the message that he believed. It was really good meeting him.
Abdul, are you here without the rest of your family or do you have some family here with you?
I'm here by myself, actually, and I've still got my whole family in Afghanistan. They live in Kabul, which is not a safe place, but safer than the other parts of the country. But yeah, my mum and dad and siblings, they all live in Afghanistan now.
Have you found that hard to make a start in Australia? You're still a very young man. You've obviously attended education facilities and making something of yourself, but has it been a hard slog without your family?
It's been really hard, actually. It's not only to think that I live here by myself and there's no one next living with me from my family members, but it's also like thinking back what's going on in Afghanistan, the war, and the suicide bombings that happens in Kabul. more than often, unfortunately, nowadays. And thinking about family all the time, having like nightmares about the family, it makes it really hard. If I was traveling somewhere and my family was safe, I wouldn't worry, I would just enjoy the travel. But in my case, it's a bit different because I live here by myself. And then at the same time, I think about what's going on back home and how my family is. Will they survive any suicides when they go out, work or do daily activities? So, yeah, it's been a bit hard journey.
There are so many levels to being a refugee. It isn't just about reaching a safe shore, is it?
Yeah, for those people that they still got their families back home, and for those people who have got friends that they're left behind, it's really hard. And as you said, it's not only getting somewhere safe, but psychologically, it's a lot to do. And sometimes you feel guilty and you say, oh, I live in this peaceful, beautiful country. And look at my family members, what they're going through. And you have this sense of like guiltiness and you feel like, oh, I'm enjoying this peaceful, beautiful life while my family suffers from unsafe environment. It's a bit hard being a refugee.
When you turned up at the Women's Community Centre, you walked in the door and you could smell their lunch cooking, because they do cook and sell lunches there. Yeah. They invited you to stay for lunch, didn't they?
Yeah, that was really nice of them. And when I had the chat with Carla, I just went to the kitchen because it said cafe. So I ordered a coffee and I saw her like making lunch. And then she asked me if I could stay for lunch. It was really nice of her. And I said, yeah, why not? So we had lunch together and we had conversation about humanitarian things and about volunteering and about the projects that they are doing in the Women's Community Center. And then I asked them if I could cook something for them, like Afghan food. So they had an event on Saturday and I cooked a bit of rice, Afghan rice, and a bit of Afghan chicken curry. And I invited the staff to come and share the food. So we had the food in Kala said if I could do that regularly, so I could donate to the community center at the same time. So I was more than happy to do that. Last Saturday, I did cook something and went to the community center. We had a few people who tried food and they loved it. It was a bit of a new experience for me. I've always cooked, but just to share with friends. But now it's more to do with contributing towards the Women's Community Centre and help the community as much as I could.
That's very generous of you. And I must tell listeners, I had some of Abdul's food. I had been to a meeting in town and called in to see Kalar at the centre, and Abdul had lunch made and I took some home with me. It was delicious.
Oh, that's good. You liked it.
I think I have to get that recipe, Abdul.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, with your education that you've been undergoing since you've come to Australia, you haven't been content just sitting back and taking government subsidies. You've actually been out there creating a future and a life for yourself and possibly your family further down the track. What do you hope to do?
When I came to Australia, so I did my English, and then I did my HSC, and then I got into uni. Back home in Afghanistan, I didn't have the opportunity to do science subjects like maths, physics, because the Taliban, who were in control, they had all these man-made religious books that they made by themselves, and they forced the students to study those books instead of doing science subjects. And they are really against the new technology in science. They believe that doing these subjects turn you into a disbeliever. I had the opportunity when I came to Australia to do all the science subjects, and I loved doing maths and physics. So I was really into doing engineering at uni. So I got into engineering, but at the same time, I've worked with all these humanitarian organizations in Australia, and I've been involved with refugees, as I said before. So I've decided to do engineering. I'm looking forward to finish that degree, and I'm doing it at Uni SA now. At the same time, I would love to contribute my knowledge, what I will learn towards the communities. I'm hoping to finish my degree in work in rural areas in Australia.
And we certainly do need people willing to contribute to our rural areas. Before we finish this interview, do you think it's time for the Australians to leave Afghanistan?
When the American international community announced that they would be leaving Afghanistan, people of Afghanistan had a very negative reaction towards it. They wanted the American national troops to stay in Afghanistan because the Afghans believed that the security and safety in Afghanistan is mostly dependent on the international community. They really wanted the international community to stay in Afghanistan, including the Australians who are doing a great job in Oruzgan province, not only responsible for war, but they are doing lots of humanitarian projects in Oruzgan, like building schools, hospitals, in factories for the locals in Oruzgan province. Afghans believe that if they leave, then all these humanitarian projects would stop.
Abdul, I'd really like to keep in touch and find out how life progresses for you the longer you stay here and when you get your engineering degree. Will you come back and talk to us again?
Definitely, and it was really good meeting you, actually. That's what I say to myself and to others all the time, that some of the refugees, when they arrive here, they're a bit concerned of people's reactions. How would the Australians react? It's a very important issue, refugees nowadays in Australia. It's in the priority of the Australian government all the time when it's there. It's like election time, the policies regarding the refugees and asylum seekers. I always tell them about people that I meet and I have a chat with them, people like you. I always tell them that it's not about what you hear on the news from the politicians. They are very nice, kind-hearted people out there who cares about what people believe in, what people say about refugees, their opinions. I always tell them about people who are supporting the humanitarian stuff which is happening in the world or in Australia now. So it was really good meeting you, and I'll be more than happy to come again and have a chat.
Thank you, Abdul.
It's my pleasure.